It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
Recently, a friend visited a small church while vacationing in Florida. After a brief conversation with the man at the door, my friend was welcomed as a fellow Christian, but shown to a seat in a section set apart from the regulars. He was informed that he could observe the Lord's Supper or communion, but he could not participate. My friend expressed some confusion and disappointment at this treatment. Why had a community of Christians treated another believer like this? James writes about a hypothetical case in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. He writes, "My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" In this text, James raises the difference between how a rich person and a poor person are treated in a Christian community. The rich person appears with a gold ring and fine clothes and is seated in a place of honor and comfort. The poor person, in a shabby or perhaps dirty clothes, is seated on the floor by someone's footstool. In our context, would we treat a successful-looking business person better than, say, a person who lives on the street? Many, if not most, cultures treat the rich better than the poor, at least those who appear rich over those who appear poor. I put this to the test after reading an article on the relationship between the service you get and the clothing you wear. I experienced better service in restaurants and banks when I did wear a business suit compared to when I wore less impressive clothes. What does James say about this behavior within a community of followers of Jesus? He condemns it with a rhetorical question in chapter 2, verse 4. Here's the message. "Have you not then made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" In other words, haven't you segregated God's children and proved that you are judges who cannot be trusted? This principle applies not only to favoring rich over poor, but also discriminating between ethnicities, black versus white, Croat versus Serb, or ages, old versus young, levels of health and education, even differences real or imagined in a small church in Florida. When treating any dysfunction of the body, a physician begins with a diagnosis before prescribing treatment. In the same way, James diagnoses three destructive symptoms of favoritism between the rich and the poor within a Christian community. Diagnosis 1, it is a value system that is not God's value system. God includes the poor in his kingdom. Chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, "Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man." James follows the teaching of the Lord Jesus, who inverted the standard value system of honoring the rich and shaming the poor. It is not wrong if a person is wealthy, but honor before God is not based on wealth, finances, and possessions, and it seems that riches often get in the way of pursuing God. Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Luke chapter 6, verse 20. In the gospel accounts, it is most often the poor, the diseased, and the disenfranchised people that respond to Jesus. Consider the contrast Jesus makes between the love of a rich Simon and the love of a poor unnamed woman in Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. Diagnosis 2. The rich oppress Christians. In James 2, verse 6, we read, "Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court?" The Greek word translated oppress may also be rendered as dominate or exploit. It is the nature of empires to oppress, dominate, and exploit. So the Egyptians, Exodus 1, verse 13, the Babylonians, Jeremiah 50, verse 33, and the devil himself in Acts 10, verse 38. They also oppress those they subject. For a follower of Jesus to treat a poor man the way the rich treat the poor is to endorse and practice the action of empires such as Egypt, Babylon, and the devil. Diagnosis 3. The rich blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called. James 2, verse 7. Blaspheme is a strong word indicating that the rich demean or denigrate and malign the name of God who reveals himself as Jesus Christ. So if we show favoritism against the poor, we are contradicting a loving God, siding with ruthless empires, and endorsing vile blasphemies. Here's the remedy or prescription that James gives us. James points us to the royal law, or the law of the kingdom, chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. In verses 8 and 9, we read, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." Partiality or favoritism breaches the second great commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The remedy is to love your neighbor, any person, as yourself. How do you desire to be treated? Well, then, very intentionally, treat the other person, even if they are poor or diseased or old or uneducated or whatever. Treat them as you desire to be treated. How we treat others is the measure of how we treat God. Jesus refers to this principle when he says that our treatment of the hungry and the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned, that's our treatment of Jesus himself. We read that in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. James gives us at least two motives for us to love our neighbors, whoever they may be. Motive number one, future accountability. Future or eschatological judgment for each of us will happen. How does this influence your present treatment of others? James writes in verse 12, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty." You and I will be held accountable by our Lord in a future day for how we treated others today. So keep in mind our accountability to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I speak as he would speak? Do I act as he would act? Motive number two, present mercy. James writes about our judgment of others in chapter 2, verse 13. "For judgment that is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy, mercy triumphs over judgment." I hope that I'm not reading too much into this text, whether now or in the future. You will get a taste of your own treatment of others. We are to act in mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is contrasted here with judgment. So do not be judging in favoritism against the poor. You are not to treat others like the oppressive empires treat them. In a positive way, mercy, according to one Greek English dictionary, is, quote, "kindness or concern expressed for someone in need." Again, kindness or concern expressed for someone in need. I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I think it's a really thick, strong limb. This mercy is treating others the way Jesus would treat them. So the antidote for the dysfunction of favoritism within the community of Jesus followers, favoring the rich and disdaining the poor, simply involves drawing upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and treating others the way he treats them. Easier said than done, I know, but necessary if we live toward wholeness.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.